Hello, everybody. Welcome back to I've Got a Bad Feeling About This. I think this is episode 12, maybe. I guess that's just a universal thing for all podcast hosts. Right when I started, I kind of forgot what episode we were on. But anyways, I know the content. We're going to wrap up our top 10s, going through 5 through 1. But hold that thought, everybody, because we got some news about some Disney Plus additions. So there's nothing new being announced or produced for Star Wars. However, there are 6 pieces of Star Wars stuff being added to the Disney Plus library. I'll just list them off really quickly for you. I believe it's April 2nd. It's coming out, so we're only about 3 weeks away from this. So, and I know you guys are all really excited about these additions. We got Caravan of Courage, The Ewok Adventure, Ewoks, The Battle of Endor, Battle for Endor, Star Wars Clone Wars Volume 1 and 2, which I actually am excited for because that show fucks, Star Wars Ewoks, and last but not least, The Story of the Faithful Wookiee, the animated special of the Star Wars Holiday Special, the first appearance of one Boba Fett. Some other just general Star Wars news. The new Black Series line was announced. They got 4 new characters from Legends being added to the Black Series line. I believe one's Karnor Jax, which is really cool. One of my favorite characters. He's a Imperial Guard. One of them is something the Kick-Ass Bunny, I think his name is. Jax? Huh? Something the Kick-Butt Bunny.
That's what it's going to say on his Black Series box.
Yeah. Oh, finally, I got some fan favorites. Oh, and the other one's Luke. So it's Luke, Karnor Jax, Darth Maul, and Jackson the Kick-Butt Bunny. And the Luke...
Never heard of that one.
Yeah, that one's the weirdest one to me. Luke Skywalker is from Heir to the Empire, the Timothy Zahn Thrawn novel, I believe, that they're doing there. Jackson the Bunny is from Star Wars Adventures from the 70s. I don't know what the hell why we're doing that. The Kick-Ass Rabbit? I don't know. It's not even Kick-Ass. I'm getting that wrong. It's something Rabbit. Darth Maul from... Darth Maul from the original comics... that came out before Phantom Menace, which I highly recommend. And then Karnor Jax from Crimson Empire, one of my favorite Legends characters. All getting immortalized in the Star Wars Black Series figures, that's cool. And then speaking of Star Wars Clone Wars Volume 1 and 2, spoilers for Dr. Aphra if you care. But a cover was released for Dr. Aphra number 11, featuring Dirge, the bounty hunter from Star Wars Clone Wars, who will be recanonized into Star Wars canon. He is one of my favorite bounty hunters, so I'm quite happy with that. I hope they don't bring him in just to kill him, but I trust the writers of Dr. Aphra. They're fantastic. So that'll cover our news. Just wanted to breeze by some of that stuff because I felt like it was important to at least mention that we do have... some things kind of coming out right now. No word on Mandalorian, no word on Book of Boba in terms of content or anything like that. We're still just kind of sitting tight for the Bad Batch, which comes out in a month, 2 months now. So look out for that. But today we'll have the much more pressing matter of our final 5 in our top 10s. I kind of didn't realize this, but this is kind of time. This is like tourney season. So we're kind of fitting in. If we did like a,
so we're just gonna act like you didn't do that whole voice change. Yeah.
Which one?
The like our top 10s or like I don't know. It kind of sounded like I was watching a Looper video.
Watch Mojo,
that's what it is. But you knew what I was talking about, so you knew what you were doing.
So we're going to continue with the Omari Chuck Bennett rotation. What do you call that? Order? Pattern? But yeah, we're going to kick off our top 5s. I know this is going to be controversial. because none of you have top, none of you have Han Solo in your top fives, which is egregious and an act of
scum and villainy.
Yeah, scum and villainy. Let's say, Omari, give us your number five to kick us off for the night. But
well, at number five, I have someone who is a Skywalker. They have okay hair. Okay hair.
Okay. I thought you were going to... Okay. I gave you like a... But you didn't.
No, I was going to just continue going on my thing.
Ah, yeah, okay.
They aged pretty well. They aged pretty well. So they didn't die.
Wait.
Young. So at number five, I have Luke Skywalker.
Okay.
Wait.
I mean, he's a main character, so they kind of, like, make him so you love him. So he's obviously going to be, like, one of your favorites. Just that's how you kind of design main characters, unless it's, like, a antagonist. And even then, like, I love Handsome Jack. But not the point.
What? That's so...
super random, right? I know. But, yeah, no, Luke's cool. He does cool things. I don't necessarily know if I like how his character went out, like, at the last trilogy. But overall, like... I kind of liked him as the grouchy old man.
Omari, it is so painfully obvious that you're, like, post-swallowing bites of chicken right now.
I'm literally not eating anything.
What? I heard you eat.
My mouth is clear. I'm literally have nothing in my mouth.
Guys, we tried to record maybe 30 minutes ago, and Omari texted us that he was on his way to Raising Cane's. And
I have nothing in my mouth right now. I'm actually super confused.
I don't know, man. I heard chewing.
I heard some mastication. All right.
Okay, big word guy.
I'm an English major. Yeah, Luke Skywalker's a cool character. I have him later, so I won't.
You have him higher up. That's interesting. That's
I won't say much else about him.
I mean, I feel like he's kind of like...
We're talking about, like, after...
I feel like he's kind of plain, low-key, in my opinion. Like, I feel like he's kind of vanilla with, like, what there is about him. Like, there's nothing really, like, special about him to me besides, like, the obvious fact that, oh, he's a Skywalker, he's the chosen one. Like, I really feel like we didn't really get much, like, depth to him in a sort of way.
Well, and then, Omari, my gripe with Luke was always that, like, I think in, like, the first movie and a half, it's, like, him whining the whole time.
Yeah.
I'd say just for the first movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say that. I was like, I'm trying to remember if there's anything.
But I was gonna go to Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Like, oh, shut up.
So just like, I feel like there was no, like, real, like, just nothing to, like, make him different from other main characters that you see in, like, other series overall.
Okay.
You know. So that's why I'm at five. But he's a main character, so I still think he's cool. He has some badass scenes, and we got to see more of him in the later trilogy. It was also nice.
We got to see him in The Mandalorian.
Yeah. That was actually pretty cool. That was really cool. That was really cool.
He was on some. So, he was on his. He said hoodie.
Badass shit.
He said hoodie mode. He said black Air Force Ones.
So
that was a pretty cool outfit. Yeah. Black boots.
But yeah, Luke's my five. I feel like compared to, like, the rest of the characters on my top five list, he has, like, the least amount of, like, depth to him. Or, like, I don't think depth's the right word, but, you know, he's kind of, like, just vanilla as a character to me. So.
All right, you know, I already said I have him higher on my list, so I can't really comment on him. So, Chuck, what's your number five?
Thank you for the lovely introduction there. My number five is Obi-Wan Kenobi. He could be higher on people's lists, I'm sure, but he's at my number five. Obi-Wan was always, like, he was never, to me, like, far and away my favorite character in anything. But he was always a consistent presence, and he kind of went through a lot of shit throughout. I mean, obviously the prequels, and I mean obviously he died in A New Hope.
What?
What? What do you mean?
I didn't know that.
Okay, shut up. And then even in the Clone Wars, with, you know, having a crucify me, it's Satine, right? Satine dies. So I was like, wait, shoot, that would be bad if I forgot her name. So, you know, Obi-Wan went through a lot of stuff, and his it was always really cool to see it, whether it was Ewan or Alec Guinness or I'm forgetting who voiced him in Clone Wars, but he was always a really cool character who always was a good example of, like, the best of
Tom Arnold? Nope.
Is it James Arnold Taylor?
James Arnold Taylor.
Yeah. So, you know, he was always just a consistently good character to me, whatever he was in, really. So, this is my number five.
I also have him on my list.
Yeah, he's also on my
slightly
list.
Slightly higher. Oh, hey! Slightly higher. A character. We all got a character.
Finally. I feel like our top fives are about to look pretty similar. Because the characters we haven't mentioned... Well, I mean, the characters we haven't mentioned, I feel like there's one particular one that's glaring that none of us have mentioned that I feel like I'm about to say.
Princess Leia.
Which leads me to say my number five is Anakin Skywalker.
There's no comment on Obi-Wan.
/ Darth Vader. I don't have anything to call because he's coming up on my list pretty soon here.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
So my number five, also coming up. Anakin / Vader.
Interesting.
Hey, listen, I know I kind of trashed on the whole Vader idea earlier on in episode 10 of our pod, and I stand by that because I do think he is still just like a psycho murderer. But that's what makes him one of the most compelling characters in Star Wars. I think, much like Darth Maul, who is the perfect symbol of the Star Wars tragedy that they kind of try to build, because it is a space opera, so, you know, there's the tragic nature of an opera. I feel that Anakin and Vader, the more you sit on that story and the more you let it saturate you and the more you look at it seriously, I guess is what I'm trying to say, the more you kind of can find the nuance that George Lucas is going for and the more you can maybe appreciate the story arc he goes through. So that's my idea for Anakin. My idea for Vader is that he's like the fucking best villain ever. I can't think of a lot of villains who rival Darth Vader in, like, fear when you see them. I mean, I'm not a huge fan of Fallen Order, right? But when he fucking pops out and you have to face him, it is one of the most scary scenes I was just like, oh no. Oh no. And, like, in Rogue One, of course, there's the hallway scene. You're just like, these rebels are screwed. They're done. So, like, Darth Vader, just one of the most perfectly constructed villains of all time, in my opinion. I'd say, if you're talking about villains in movies, you're talking about, like, Anthony Hopkins, Hannibal Lecter. You're talking about homie Anton Chigurh from...
Hello, Clarice.
No Country for Old Men. You're talking about, like, these iconic cinema villains, and then you have to start talking about Darth Vader, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, like, the prototype for so many different things. Anime. Movies. Sci-fi movies now. You see the influence of this character everywhere. So I just think that his cultural impact, and it definitely spins how much I like the character, and the depth you get from him from, like, Clone Wars, from Rebels, from the comics, from the novels, if you read those, it's just all of that makes Vader such an amazing and complex character that I feel like I don't think a single other Star Wars villain even comes close. Now, I'm guessing both of you have him higher on your list.
Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah. I will pass it to Omari.
For number four. At number four, I have just in a great overall, like, lovely character. Like, I never met someone who said they didn't like him. You know. And he is a clone of somebody else.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised it's a top five character.
It's Rex. No, it's not like top five. He's just one of my favorites. I highly enjoy him.
You sure it's not 99?
Shut up with your 99. Every time anybody mentions anything. Whoa.
Wait, what did he just say?
Whoa.
Died like a punk.
Wow. What did he do? Omari 99 slander.
I'm joking.
Save the entire clone facility, and you're sitting here.
Am I allowed to have... Actually, now that I think about this random question, am I allowed to have all the clones from the Clone Wars series as favorites?
No.
Five,
number one.
Okay, then just Rex.
All of the clones.
Just Rex.
Also,
Cody's kind of a punk.
Yeah, no, he really is. I don't know. I really enjoyed him in the original Clone Wars series that they had. I kind of enjoyed him slightly less in Rebels, but that's because Rebels had more of like a childish feel to it.
Yeah.
And that's what I kind of liked about Clone Wars. Like, even though it was a cartoon, it was very, like, serious, like, the mood.
Like, the...
I was holding a McDonald's sauce packet and it exploded in my hands.
You were just clowning on Omari for eating.
I know, right? This is from lunch. I was just playing with it.
Oh, he's just playing with it and it blew up.
Continue your discourse. I'll be right back.
Nice, nice.
But yeah, no, I think Rice is just. I kind of like him as a character. I feel like they did a really good job with him. I really don't got like no like. Real reason besides that I think he's cool, like I do for the rest of my characters, you know. He doesn't really change throughout the series or nothing. I genuinely just think he's kind of dope, you know. Mm-hmm. He's like the right hand man to Ahsoka and Anakin. He's just badass. So
see, now Omari, now this is interesting to me because I also have Rex in the top five here.
What, you do?
See, that's what I was surprised when you said Rex. I was like, oh wait a minute, you know. But he's not my number four. He's higher on this list.
Whoa, so, wait, hold on. What was your number four?
That's crazy. He's saying that he has Rex on his list too.
What? Oh my!
But higher.
We will not accept Rex slander in this.
I know. I think it might be because I'm like the most disconnected from the Clone Wars out of any of us.
Yeah, you probably.
Haven't
watched it.
He hasn't. So you still haven't seen.
Because like, I watched it when it first came out, as it was coming out, and I fell off after The Mandalore. After Satine died, around there.
Really? That was Bennett's breaking point.
No, it was just, it kind of, I mean, what was that, 2014 when that came out?
Mm-hmm. Well,
I was like going into, we were going into high school, and I was like.
Yeah, I had to see you guys.
I kind of had other things to do.
Gross. Oh yeah, hang out with girls.
And going into high school, ladies, I was like a very, like, reclusive nerd. I didn't like to talk about that I was, like, into nerd
ever.
Shit.
Super weird. Super weird.
Did you do the Naruto run?
No. I'm just saying, like, when we were going into high school, I didn't like to say that I was into nerdy shit. I was, like, very,
you'd
like...
say, hi, I'm Bennett. I'm a jock. And
I was like, hi, I'm Bennett, like, the Seahawks and...
Get in the locker.
Theater.
Are you a pirate now?
Theatrical pirate.
Now it's time for Chuck's number four.
Number four.
Oh, God. Okay.
Good transition.
This entry might catch some flack.
Well, I guess I didn't even say anything about Rex because I was cleaning sauce off my hand.
Yeah, come on, get this.
I don't really have a lot to say about him.
Wow,
he's a cool clone.
Wow, using clone like it's a derogatory term.
Like it's a slur.
I guess he's cool for a clone.
Clone.
Come on, Bennett.
Okay, no, whatever. Bennett. What's your
number
four?
Get back on track. My number clone four rights. Is. Starkiller from the video games.
What? Hey. Hey.
I thought that counted.
I said canon. No,
I thought you said that.
I said canon.
Oh, shit.
He meant canon video games.
Uh-oh.
I thought you put video.
Come on with a new number four right now. Right now.
Or
redo your number 10, technically. Redo your number 10.
Okay, the guy that... What? I thought you said video games. I can't go back that far. This is a...
No, we'll let Galen Merrick slide. We'll let him slide.
Now I feel like a big dummy.
We let him slide because he's also one of my favorite Star Wars characters. If we were doing...
I feel like big dummy now.
If we were doing non-canon, I would have had him on my list. So
okay,
for
technicalities, if I were to push everybody up, my number 10 would have been Count Dooku.
Okay, but we'll take Starkiller. Let's talk about Starkiller because now I want to.
Well, see... And the reason for that is, you know, I think Force Unleashed was, like, one of the first things to, like, help me in my Star Wars journey, if that makes sense, right? You know, and I always thought, obviously, the dual sabers are cool and all, but the concept is really cool. I like the first game more, but just sort of, you know, this whole secret apprentice to Vader shit. I already swore, so never mind.
We all have, dog, you're fine.
Yeah, Bennett in his sauce packet. But the whole concept around the story was really thought out, and that was like when there were good Star Wars games.
Shots.
You know,
shots.
Well made, took what? The time to make them Star Wars games. I know that Starkiller was like a concept for the original trilogy.
That's well, yeah, his thing. Name was, yeah.
Yeah. That's a whole different thing, though. But, you know, I thought, I really, like I said, I really enjoyed how they developed his story in those games. You know, I guess I made an oopsie, but, you know, I always thought he was a really solid character, and he helped me with the Star Wars adventure that we're all on.
Yeah, Starkiller is, like, one of the most... He's one of the sickest, like, extended universe characters, and I think the reason he is because a lot of us identify him as, like, the first Star Wars badass. Oh, you know what I mean?
And Sam Witwer's pretty damn cool, too.
Sam Witwer's an amazing voice actor. I wish they'd give him a live-action credit in Star Wars. I know he's chill playing Maul. I know he's chill playing Palpatine, but, like, I'd love for him to get back on the screen, maybe as our good man, Galen Merrick. But he's like the prototype for a lot of these characters we see nowadays, the brooding anti-hero Jedi slash Sith who's not really on either side of the conflict, he's just being manipulated. Like, he's very Anakin-y in that way, but he's also just this completely original character that works within the universe really well. So, like, the fact that he's not canon anymore is fine. I'm not upset by it, because I understand that when you reboot a universe, you need to reboot it for real. But I think that he is probably one of my favorite extended universe characters, and I treasure those games to the deepest extent. They're probably my favorite Star Wars games, right up there with
the Republic OG Commando. Oh, I had the OG Battlefronts up there.
Not Battlefront. I like them, but they're not, like, they didn't have a story.
Yeah, you're right. Fair enough. That's
important for me. All right, my number four, and I've got a bad feeling that I'm the only one who has this in my top five.
You've got a bad feeling about this?
My list in period. My number four is Leia Organa, both in general and princess form.
I'm interested to see your description, sir.
I think she is one of the most influential and powerful characters in science fiction, because it's like the first real time in a lot of these shows. Outside of Star Trek, don't get me wrong, Star Trek also does a pretty good job of this, but with female representation on the line, she's a trailblazer. And when I say she, I mean the character and Carrie Fisher. And I think what they did with Leia in the sequels is one of the shining parts of the sequels. Because if you look at how they handled Han, okay, we can't really get super in depth there because he died in the first movie. And when we look at Luke, he died in the first movie he was in. So really the only complete story we have out of the original trio is Leia. And her growth and her journey going from damsel in distress in A New Hope to general slash princess in Empire Strikes Back to, like, a foot soldier general in Jedi, and then just to see her become, like, this admiral in 7, 8, 9, I don't think that was her actual rank. It might have been. I don't know. Is just, I think it's a really great storyline, and I think she's, once you get out of the really pseudo-sexism that George Lucas kind of stained Star Wars with in the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy somewhat, I think at the end of the day, she's a very inspiring character, and I think she's a well-written badass of a woman who is both, like, empowered on the battlefield, but she's also, like, the sharpest mind out of most characters we've met in Star Wars. So she's my number four, and you know, this might also be colored by Carrie Fisher's untimely demise, but she does hold such a high regard to me in Star Wars, and got a lot of love for that character.
I think you did a good job explaining that.
I think she holds even higher regard just overall, and just, like, I don't know what you would call the community, but, like, just
in just like movies. Like,
yeah, I hate just, to be like, so cliche, society. But like, she's like such a
like, she's an icon. She's a pop culture icon. She's
I don't think it's cliche. I think it makes. I think
too. It's just facts.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's accurate.
So that's why she's so high on my list. I enjoy her every time she's on screen, which I don't actually think I can say about the rest of the people on my list. But actually, no.
Then, so why is she not higher?
I'm so why is she not higher? Because they're my top three. I hold near and dear for outside of plot reasons as well. There's like sentiment. All right, Omar. We're getting to the top three, guys. This is big. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. This is big. Whoa, 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 whoa.
At number three, I have Anakin Skywalker slash Darth Vader, obviously. For Anakin, again, I don't know if you guys know this. I really love the Clone Wars, if that's just not obvious enough.
Unlike Bennett.
Sorry.
So, like, I just like the development that we saw in the Clone Wars and a little bit of the... Okay, I don't know if I really like Anakin in the prequels that much. They kind of make me, like, not like him a little bit.
He's all right in three.
But, yeah, no, he's all right in three. So I really like Anakin just... I feel like he's more interesting to me than Luke, personally. Yeah. That's why he's higher than Luke. I feel like he's just a more interesting character. Especially when you see, like, just how he acts compared to all the other Jedis, you know? Mm. And you see that with how he puts his morals on, like, when he's training, like, Ahsoka, and then, like, the missions that he takes his team on. Like, you just see him act differently compared to all the other Jedi. So I kind of like how he's, like, the outlier. Obviously, that's not a good thing because he turns into Vader. But, yeah, and then for Vader, I don't know. I don't really – I think Vader's, like, badass and cool from the movies. But I don't really have him as, like, one of my favorite characters until – I read, like, saw him in the comics, and that's where we really got to see him be even more badass.
He's pretty fucking gruesome. Cool in the comics.
Yeah, he's, like, even cooler in the comics than he is in the movies. Yeah. Because there's really, like, a whole arc where he's just going around killing Jedis.
It so is it's just, like, you wild. See him
murdering everybody.
And he's, like, even when he gets bested, you're reading it, and you're, like, it's kind of like playing a video game, like, with, yeah. Like, with, like, Ezio or something. Because you're like, how's he going to get out of this one? And then he gets out of it, and you're like, ah, yeah, Vader.
He did it. But, yeah, Vader, really, I don't know if I like him as, like, I can't think of any, like, characteristics or anything like I can for the other characters. I just do think he's just such a badass. Like, in the movies, I feel like they could have shown that badass. Well, he wasn't even, like, the main character in the movies or the main bad guy. So there's not much you can really do with that.
Technically. But,
yeah, no, technically, like, Hopeless is the main bad guy and stuff.
Omari, I just realized that your number five, the reason you had to talk about Luke's hair is because you ended last episode by saying haircut.
Yeah.
Wait, who is he talking about?
He's talking about Luke.
Oh.
He has a weird haircut. He has such an ugly haircut. I'm sorry, he has such an ugly haircut.
Someone out there probably likes it.
No. He had that middle part. I can think of a few guys at our school. Who had that?
And did we like that, or did we secretly make fun of them? And did they do that because they thought it looked good, or because it was the joke of a school?
Some of us don't have hair, so they don't have comment on.
All right, okay. Chuck. What's your Chuck. Number
three? My number three is our favorite Buckethead.
Are you Din Djarin? Kidding me, you guys?
You have a droid?
Oh, a droid? Yeah, Chopper. Sorry. No.
Oh wow, I thought it was Rex. I thought you were putting Rex at number three. Wait, that means Rex that is means higher Rex is than three? What the hell?
Whoa, that's crazy. Bennett, you gotta watch Clone Wars before you can judge. That's all I
yeah, I've watched Clone Wars. You just haven't watched season 7.
You have to watch all of it before you can judge. That's all I gotta say. All
right, there's still whatever. More story to be told, young man.
Wow, me, didn't
hey, this is my turn.
Yeah,
my turn.
Let's hear it.
My turn.
That's very high for Din.
I know that when Bennett had his, when we did our 10 through 6 episode, he was kind of like, oh, well, I don't know if we've learned about him enough. I always, when I first watched the first season, I was like, okay, you know, this guy is pretty fucking cool. And it felt like, you know, a breath of fresh air, you know, from, you know, we get the sequels and that's cool and all, I guess. But just this, because he's an original character, right? Mm-hmm. He's not, like, taken from any text. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure he's original.
No, you're right.
And it was just like, you know, this is a guy that, you know, we're not, there shouldn't have been any necessarily like expectation, oh, like in the comics he did this or whatever. You know, this is like this original character, and you know, obviously in season one, you know, it's pretty much about bounty hunting, you know, pretty obvious. Complicated profession and all that. But then in the second season, to be like, oh, you know, to see him actually, because in season one, it's like, oh, this guy doesn't give a shit. He's here to make money, and that's about it. Then you add the kid, and you just continue to see that father figure role grow, and just kind of seeing how well Pedro Pascal especially performs in that role, you know, the little tiny details from the episode where they stormed that New First Order compound, and he, you know, haven't not taken the helmet off. You know, he's, I guess a small detail was he never uses his peripheral vision because he doesn't use it in the helmet. And I was like, oh, I didn't really think about that. Just like, you know, the way that Pedro Pascal does such a great job with that character. I don't know. He's just kind of, you know, with the effect of, you know, that breath of fresh air, and just being a new creative character that I don't have to worry about people complaining about how he did this and this and some other form of media. That's why he's there. He just, you know, he's that, it's mostly that, you know, new and, fresh aspect, I guess you could say. But I really have enjoyed, because this is kind of like, because like we talked about with Boba Fett, I didn't get much Boba Fett, you know, when I was younger. This is kind of, I guess, my first, like, my favorite Mandalorian, I guess, at this point in time. Because, you know, I can still learn, but,
Right.
End of lengthy description. You know, freshness and the way that I've seen it, you know, as well as Pedro Pascal and the job he's done, or why he is so high.
Yeah. We've talked about Din already, I think. So, Omari, do you have any...
The thing about me for Din is that I feel like we didn't really get to see character development from him until, like, the second season. And the first season, all we got from him was like, okay, you're a badass. And we don't really get to see that many badasses, so it was dope to see him have character development. But the reason why he didn't make my top 10, personally, I was just, he's not close enough to my heart yet. I feel like I said this when we first talked about him. He's just not close enough to my heart as these other characters. But all these other characters we've had for years, we've only had Din for like two. And we only had like emotional Din for like one. So
that makes sense.
I feel like once we get, like, maybe after this next season, he'll definitely be in my top 10. You know, with all this Star Wars content coming out, we might have to just do this every year, once a year, just top 10s.
Maybe I'll have Han Solo in mind in one of them.
I feel like... Have you watched Solo?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, just wondering.
I enjoyed it, despite the criticism it got.
I thought it was fine.
No, yeah, I highly enjoyed it. The criticism
was, like, off base for that movie.
Pretty much.
So, my number 3 is Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Wow.
I think he is... My favorite... I was going to say my favorite Jedi, but that doesn't really pan out.
He is someone above that.
But in terms of... As far as Jedi go from the prequels, he is my favorite Jedi. Did I give away who my 2 or 1 is? Probably. But I really love Obi-Wan. He's so fun. He's funny. He's also a wise ass. He's like... I think he's really the only character that benefited from being in the prequels. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so many other characters, you went, this guy sucks. Like, Yoda, this guy sucks.
Little green.
You see him in the prequels, you're like, you're useless. You suck. How are you one of the greatest Jedi of all time? You just suck. But you see Obi-Wan in the prequels, and you're like, okay. I can see how... I can trace how you get from point A to point B now. You know what I mean? And... Clone Wars really helps it too, because he's funny, he's sassy, he's competent. He actually shows some real emotion with Satine. He really cares about Anakin as like almost like a son or a brother, and they treat each other like family. And I think that dynamic is so important to Star Wars, because at the end of the day, I feel like Star Wars is an examination of found family. an examination of, honestly, family dynamics in a lot of different ways. So I find him to be such a great character because not only is he the problem solver a lot of the time, he's also like, he's the negotiator. What can I say? He fixes these problems. He does so in a way that is sensitive to most people's feelings. He does so in a way that's like, he's very counter to what the Jedi Order would have you believe a Jedi is. And I think that has to do with Qui-Gon being his master and Anakin being his apprentice. You know, he has so many influences that he drags in. And of course, I'm like so excited to see what he does in Kenobi, because to see the character get the same kind of treatment that Din is getting with an established character already makes me really excited, because I can't wait to see how they further evolve that character. Is he a perfect Star Wars character? No, because I don't think it exists. But I'd say that he is the most one of the most consistently likable characters. That's what I said with Princess Leia. She's the one I like seeing the most. I'd say that she Obi-Wan is the same way as she is. Whenever he's on screen, I'm like, yeah, Obi-Wan, yeah. Even when he's out in the worst CGI ever in Kamino, I'm like, well, at least it's Obi-Wan. Omari?
I'm going to start off by saying that Obi-Wan is my number two.
Wow.
So, and, wow. And I'm next.
Good segue.
Yeah. So I'll just continue off of that. Honestly, everything Bennett said, literally everything Bennett said, I don't actually know what else to say. But
talk about how cute Ian McKellen is.
Who?
Ian McKellen? Magneto? Ewan McGregor.
Honestly,
my bad.
I like his character like the interactions that we get to see him have in Clone Wars. I feel like they're very unique and always interesting. You know, I feel like his approach to situations kind of makes him an even more enjoyable character. You know, because like you kind of know what you're gonna get with Anakin. You know, he's gonna be the rebel about everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, you're gonna tell him to do something. He's gonna be like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do this my way." But I feel like when they were like, any storyline that it involves Obi-Wan always involves some sort of level of creativity, and I really enjoy that.
Ooh, when he pretended to be that bounty hunter.
Yeah, that was dope. That was dope. Or like the whole thing with Maul, like I just love, like that's gotta be one of my favorite rivalries, wow. Like just in all, like all of fiction right there. I don't know why.
What about his hair? I just love him.
Episode two, his hair is the worst.
Wow.
I like it in Clone Wars. I like the whole like connecting beard, like that's mm-hmm. a vibe. I feel like it looked good like that.
I hope
they even did it well with it.
I hope that's the look they go for in Kenobi. You know, maybe like grow it out and be all gray.
Also, when's is that in 2 years or is that
not this year? No, that's next year. It's 2022.
Yeah, we're gonna have to redo this because I'm sure that'll provide exactly. So much. Yeah, Omari's right on that.
We're just gonna have to do this every year with all the content coming out, and I love that. I really like that. Hopefully, there's some content that actually puts Finn in my top 10.
And hopefully, you guys are here along 9. With us.
Go ahead, Chuck. Yeah,
okay, I'm gonna need you guys to hold your reaction to who ends up being number one, because my number two is the man.
Rex.
Okay, I needed you to hold that. You didn't do that.
Oh. Damn it, Omari. Shut up. All right. Sorry.
Come on.
My
it's the other guy wearing the helmet. It's Darth Vader. Hold it together now. Hold it together. Let me get through this. I have,
Alert, alert, alert. That's our first unanimous. No, second unanimous.
Yeah, second.
We all had Obi-Wan.
Oh, yes. Okay. I think Bennett did a good job of explaining it already. You know, when I think when you think of TV villains, movie villains, it's pretty hard to not think about Darth Vader. And just, I've read some of the comics, not all of them. And even then, it's like, it just continues to add to him. I know that even before the hallway scene in Rogue One, when we see him and Krennic interact on his castle, that was still pretty cool. I don't remember who the voice actor. I don't know if it was James Earl Jones.
It was James Earl Jones.
Was it still? Okay. Yeah. James Earl Jones does a great job voicing him, obviously Dave Prowse, right? Mm-hmm. Or may he rest in peace. As this big dude, I don't know if either guys have you have heard of like where he said the lines. Just completely it's different voice. Funny. It's very funny. It's
very funny.
But may
I
he
want
rest
to find
in
the,
peace.
I want to find the princess, and I want her alive.
Yeah, it's like completely would change the character. But I think you know with his size, and then you know the voice. Plus the breathing, like Bennett said with Fallen Order, as much as I was okay with it. I mean, but there were some things I have some gripes with that game. Anyway, we're not talking about games right now. When he comes, you can hear the breathing start. It's like, oh my god, what the fuck is about to happen? And there's no health bar. So basically, you're just running from Darth Vader the whole time. You know, but yeah, just the way that he was built. And the way he's handled, I was like, I really hope that nobody messes with the legacy of Darth Vader in any future Star Wars projects. I hope nobody somehow messes with that. But, I mean, just far and away, I think he's probably my favorite villain in any movie. Just because, well, any movie, yeah.
Not Thanos?
Not Thanos?
No, Purple Guy's pretty
big,
cool.
The big angry grape?
What about Mephisto?
Who's Mephisto?
Agatha.
Okay.
Mephisto, Kid Fisto.
Ralph Boner. All the same. But yeah, as I think Ben already did a pretty good job of explaining it. But yeah, Darth Vader, far and away, so badass, despite Bennett calling him a raging evil killing man. The killing man is pretty cool. I mean, he is, but he's still pretty cool.
We've all talked about Vader at this point.
Yes. We don't need
it. My anymore. Number two, and this would have been a unanimous if it weren't for Chuck, is Han Solo. Han Solo, there is something intangible about why I like Han Solo.
Okay.
It's a little hard to explain because if you kind of just look at him without being charmed by his silver tongue, he's kind of the worst. Like, he's pedantic, he's hard to agree with, all he's there for is the money, but then he has these moments where he shines as, like, an actual decent person. And I think it's because you see it in him from the very moment you meet him, that he has some level of compassion to him. And he has some level of, like, good to him that he's covering up with all this roguish macho bullshit, that when he actually shows some vulnerability or he actually shows some help and some give, I think it makes those moments with the character so special that he kind of just barely edges Obi-Wan out for this number two spot. And I think it has a lot to do with being a kid and watching Star Wars, the original trilogy, and, you know, having those playground conversations. Oh, who would you be? And if you're talking to anybody, you're going to get one of two answers. You're going to get Han Solo or Luke Skywalker. As a kid, I didn't say Han Solo. Ever. Which is why he's my number two. But I think that he's just such a wildly well-formed character that you just can't help but love him. I just think it's definitely one of those things where it almost feels like you're getting tricked into being so in love with this character.
Would you say you were swooned?
I would say I was swooned. Honestly. Because, like, he's charming, and he's the same thing with Vader, where he's kind of the prototype for this whole line of characters to come after him. Of course, he's basically just a space cowboy. So, but when you see, I don't know, guys like Malcolm Reynolds from Firefly, you go, that's Han Solo, but it's Nathan Fillion. If you watch like anything, you're like, that's Han Solo. Basically, that's like he's become a character that we describe other characters with. So, again, cultural impact has a lot to do here. I'd say the influence that Star Wars had on my childhood. That's the interesting thing is, my 10 through 6 is very much so who I like right now, and my 5 through 1 is very much who I, like, have loved my entire life.
I like how you described that, Bennett. You said Han Solo is what you describe other, used to describe other characters. That was smooth.
And I think that's what makes him.
I think that's a perfect. Yeah. That's perfect. I think that's really perfect. He's such a mold that you see when you think of that, like the type of character that Han Solo is. He's like the OG. Like he's as far as back as I can think where I seen that first example of that character. Because we see that type of character in everything now. Mm-hmm. There's always that one guy who's kind of like the outlier, the witty guy, the ladies' man, the charmer. Mm.
I mean, and, like, Tony Stark.
He's definitely like the... Yeah, exactly. Like, he's the farthest character I can think back to who, like, he's the blueprint.
So that's why I love Han Solo so much. I didn't really cry when he died because I kind of saw it coming. I shed a tear. Moved on.
Got it spoiled for
him. But I think at the end of the day, it was a good exit for his character, which is not what I'd say for my number one. Omari, let's hear your number one.
I feel like this is very obvious if you all know me. I haven't brought this her up
at so all wild.
Throughout this whole thing.
Is it wild, though?
It's not,
if you know me, it's really not. I really feel like I lead this ship. But yeah, no, I feel like everyone saw it coming. But... Ahsoka Tano. I think it's funny that all my my top four, all those characters except for like Darth Vader, kinda are because of the Clone Wars. So I think that just shows you what my favorite piece of Star Wars. It really is. No, it really is. That man's the GOAT for what he did to that whole franchise. Mm-hmm. Whole franchise. Really saved it. You would have left it in not gonna say his name's hands. Who knows where we'd be at right now?
Do you just like refuse to say George Lucas?
He who shall not be named.
I just slowly starting to like him less and less as a person. I don't know why.
He's questionable. He is.
Very questionable. Very questionable. But I don't know. You could probably go back and look at all the episodes where we talked about Ahsoka Tano to figure out the reasons why I like her.
I believe she was your favorite, one of your favorite Mando characters, too. At least she was your favorite episode.
Yeah, no, she was my favorite episode, too. Not my favorite character, but that's not her show, so you didn't really get to see much of her. But just... Overall, I just think she's a dope character. It was nice to see a character fully develop. We don't get to see that. The only other character we've seen that with is, like, the Skywalkers. Those are the only characters that we get to see fully develop like that. Mm-hmm. So it was nice to see someone outside of the Skywalkers and Obi-Wan, I guess, fully develop as a character. To see them when she was a young Padawan, to when she left the Order, to when she came back during Rebels, to seeing her in The Mandalorian, and to see what's going to come next for her.
Right.
And this is... I don't know. This is like the first Star Wars character I really became attached to because, you know, I was seeing her every week.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good point.
I was seeing her every week. I was seeing her, Anakin, all those guys every week. You know, I saw Luke maybe once in a movie.
You see him six times ever.
Yeah, for real. So, you know, like you're seeing Ahsoka. That's why I kind of think I like the Clone Wars character so much because I'm seeing them. I was seeing them every week. You know,
that's a good point.
Or there was stages in high schools or like even during finals week last year where I would just turn on Star Wars in the background and just watch. Like my go-to arc's always like the Maul arc. I don't know why. It's just so like badass with Savage Opress and stuff. But so, you know, I feel like that's kind of sums up my top four really well, is just because of how often you got to see those characters and see them develop. That's why I can understand why Chuck has Rex in his top three.
I can't sure,
because it's,
but
you haven't seen all this. You haven't seen all of it,
Bennett. I don't care about your opinion
until you see all of it.
I don't think 12 more episodes is gonna sway me that hard on Rex.
No,
it's not just about Rex. It's real emotional. The entire 12 more episodes. The entire show as a whole. Emotional
12 more
episodes. I know, but I have like Ahsoka, and I have Anakin and Obi-Wan for like the same reasons that you guys do for the Clone Wars.
Hey man, let people enjoy things.
Rex, he's the other main character. It's literally Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, Anakin, and Rex. Those are literally the main characters.
Pretty much.
What about
the political episodes?
What about Gilf Lauren?
The political episodes were actually really interesting. You know, this is really about the but yeah, no. Ahsoka, I think, will probably be at my number one for...
When?
I don't know.
Her series comes out like the same year as Kenobi. It's going to be a whack season.
Ooh. Whack season.
Yeah, so, yeah, no. Year. That might maybe... So she might switch with Obi-Wan. We might see. And we might see Jen in the top five soon. I don't know. But
we have
for now, Ahsoka's definitely badass.
All right, Genske, you're the number one, Chuck. And I'll shut up about it.
hey, you know, you gotta drop your stigma about clones, buddy. Okay,
for real. You know, like, it's not
okay. Let people enjoy things. All right, that's a thing. Han Solo doesn't, you know, swoon me as much as you. I don't look at Han Solo when I don't faint. You know,
it's okay. We know Ben's slightly attracted.
He did say swoon.
I mean, we all are, but like. Like, slightly a little bit more.
I think Omari, when he said, you know, I saw Ahsoka weekly, that was the thing that resonated. And even, I don't think it was during final. I think it was over the pandemic. I watched the entire series through again.
Yeah.
Which is hard to do the first two seasons because, oh, sweet Jesus. Slow. So slow.
It's like where I am right now with the show. I'm trying to rewatch.
But I don't know. You know, it just Rex stuck with me at that age, and then it came back. You know, I don't know if you know the dual pistols, the way his helmet is. I think he's. I don't know if his hair is different to comment on hair like Omari, but
he's blonde.
Yeah, he's blonde. Like, ooh, he's different. You know, it was the helmet and the dual pistols. Just seeing him every week, it was pretty cool to see the tie-in with Rebels and then technically in Return of the Jedi. Yeah, I don't know how well that thought out. I don't know how that came to be. It was just some coincidence. Like, hey, this is Rex. So, you know,
then Dave Filoni was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'll run with that. You know, I can get jiggy with that. Okay.
I feel like in a way that Rebels kind of ruined Rex a little bit for me.
Yeah, I don't know if I... Because it made him too childish to go with the show. See, now you're scaring me away from Rebels. I
don't want to... No, it's not that. It's just... I don't want to taint his... He's not the same badass that you see in the Clone Wars. You know, you see him a little bit more childish because it's a Disney XD show.
Yeah.
Like, Clone Wars was on Cartoon Network. Cartoon Network really didn't give a fuck back in the day, I swear.
We have no Rebels exclusives in our top tens.
Sorry.
That's crazy.
I mean, they're okay, but also I feel like when you try to make something like Star Wars into something for kids, and you really try to
Omari, hold on, like that, hold the phone. Star Wars is for kids.
No, it is. But I feel like they were trying to make it childish.
I guess I don't know. I can see that for the first two seasons, but I felt like the
last three seasons. No, it definitely got a lot more seasoned. It got a lot more serious with the last three seasons with Kanan and all that. It really felt like Star Wars for me when it came to those later seasons.
Did you mention anything about Ahsoka and Rebels? Because I feel like they do a pretty solid job of her and Rebels.
They do.
No, they did. She did. She plays a really good mentor role in Rebels.
I think it's interesting about Rebels is, just to get into the discourse a little bit.
Which is really interesting, though. Oh,
I was just going to say that it's interesting because Ezra has so many different, like, quote-unquote mentors in Rebels.
For real.
That it feels like Ahsoka's almost a side... Because he's, like, Maul. He has Bossk for, like, two episodes. He has Kanan. He has...
Bossk.
Hera. Then he has Ahsoka. And then he also kind of has Yoda. And then he has, like, Obi-Wan through some weird connection in that. The twin sons episode. I just think it's interesting that he has so many mentors and Ahsoka is one of them.
I think Ahsoka was interesting, though, because they needed her to play the role of a Jedi. Yeah. Like, that's what Kanan and Ezra needed her to be to guide them. Because she's like...
But she is no Jedi.
So it was interesting to see her put in that situation where it's like, well, you guys need me to be a Jedi for you, but like, I'm not a Jedi. Like, you need me to help guide you, but I'm not about that life. But like, she's the only person they could really turn to. Like, everybody else is dead.
This is about Rex. And Rex is just a big old man in the Rex. New show. So.
Big old man.
Yeah. You got gray hair.
Bald.
Hey.
Gray hair.
Some of us are bald. No, but you know, I think Omar did a good job too earlier about talking about Rex. Rex will always... I think Bennett kind of talked about it. Well, no, Bennett, it was very interesting.
Bennett hates clones.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he hates clones. Oh. But I was alluding to Bennett was very interesting in his description of Han Solo. I don't know. I think Rex just has that, you know, stuck with me through childhood. So that's kind of probably why it stuck up there. So, you know, clones are people too, Bennett.
I want to clear the air. First off, the reason I don't like Rex is because I really liked Commander Fox in the movie, and he gets relegated to a nothing character in favor of Rex. And Rex
supremacy!
Rex becomes the guy who rolls around with the two guns, and I'm like, that was Fox, like a year ago. Why are we not letting
it
him.
It should have been me!
And then Fox becomes like Vegeta, and he kills Fives and dies later on when Vader.
So Bennett has bad. Bennett has bad memories.
I just have bad memories because I really liked. I've always liked red over blue in terms of color schemes. And when you're 11,
I know how Bennett swings.
And when you, oh man, no.
Red versus red, blue versus blue.
In any case,
should we start a Halo show?
Yeah, let's talk about four games that are okay. Five games. Holy shit.
Wait,
I guess like seven if you count Reach and ODS. Anyways.
Yeah,
wow, no, really off course. Really off course, because there's also the two Halo wars.
Other guys
were. And then Halo Spartan Assault. So that's 10.
Okay. All right.
But I also just don't really like Rex, because I, and this is true, I've never been a huge fan of the clones. I think it's
clones.
Because...
Wait, Bennett actually hates clones? Wait, yeah. Hold on. I thought it was a joke.
It was kind of a joke, but it's kind of true. I don't really care for clones. Oh, I don't care for clone troopers. It's kind of cringy, too, because, like, on TikTok, there's all the For the Republic bros on there who are, like, really obnoxious. Oh, and it's just, like, I don't know. I've always hated the clones versus the droids because, like, the droids are just so stupid. And the clones the clones are so obviously supposed to be like hyper masculine military men that I have a hard time. God, you know, people are gonna hate me. People are gonna listen to this. People are gonna listen to this and hate me.
I kinda hate you right now too. I'm not even gonna
hold already
you.
Tell.
I'm saying clone slander.
I like some of them in the Clone Wars, and Rex in terms of clones, I do think he's up there for me. Do I like Echo a little better? Yeah. Did I like Fives more? Yeah.
Rex Supremacy.
I didn't like Commander Fox at the end of the day more than him, though.
How do you feel about our friend Cody?
Cody sucks. He's like the only clone who couldn't get the job done. So
blast him.
That's how... There he is. Blast him. And they shoot at his horse and... They don't even kill him.
His lizard horse. And they're like, oh,
his lizard horse.
Like, yeah, we did it.
They don't even check. And it's like, guys, do you know who you're shooting? Like, go check.
Yeah fuck it.
So my number one.
He did.
As if it wasn't painfully Fives. Obvious, is Luke Skywalker.
Oh.
Lame.
I don't think so. I think Luke is cool just because, and I've said a lot of this recently, because this is kind of my thing. This is kind of my shtick. I think he has the best character arc out of any of the main characters so far. I have a really weird feeling that Din Djarin might make the jump from like 6 to 3 when season 3 of The Mandalorian comes out. Because I really only put him at 6 because I didn't have enough content to go off of. But the second we get more Din, I feel like he's gonna break the plane really quickly. But as of right now, Luke Skywalker just has this amazing development of a whiny farm boy into competent Jedi and pilot into Jedi Grandmaster. And then he really falls off. But I think that episode 6, Luke, was such a huge mark on me as a kid. And it's really for one line. And it's the whole, I'm a Jedi, like my father before me. And not to be too sentimental on our podcast, but my dad and I have such a strong bond because of Star Wars that Luke Skywalker's, like, that line has always been indicative of why I'm a Star Wars fan. You know what I mean? Like, my dad grew up watching these movies, I grew up watching these movies, and we've both, like, made it pretty much a big slice of our lives to share the joy that comes from Star Wars. I mean, that's what this podcast's about. And my dad has an Instagram page that he runs, and both of us have hobbies in our free time where we're just trying to spread how much fun this series is. And I think Luke Skywalker was one of the first characters that he and I could really bond together on. And that father-son relationship, like I said before, is so indicative of Star Wars. That familial bond between people. And Luke Skywalker is emblematic of that. And I think his growth is just something that, and I hate to be the person with main character syndrome, but it's something I see a lot of myself in, because I, like, I don't know, as I've grown up, I've, like, yeah, I've been that whiny farm boy. I still am a whiny brat. But, like, if I can someday, like, get to that wise position where so many of the people I look up to are, including my dad, then, like, fuck. That's where I want to be. So Luke, to me, is just, like, this beautiful character, because you might not like him all the time. He might not be the biggest of badasses either, although Mandalorian Season 2 made a pretty big case that he's as cool as his dad. But at the end of the day, you see Star Wars through his lens. Like, Star Wars is his universe right now, as it is. No matter where you turn, you think, how does this connect to Luke? How does this connect to the Empire that Luke takes down? How is Luke gonna fix this? Until the sequel trilogy says no to that. But I just think that he's such an amazing character for kids, regardless of who you are, to look at and to realize you can be flawed, you can be whiny, you can be just like the worst. But as long as you have like your friends and you have your family and you have like this hope, which I think is Star Wars, as long as you have those components, like, you can overcome things. And that's why Luke, I mean, he's a lame character, I will agree, but I think that's why he's my favorite character. Somebody needs to make a joke.
I just had a thought after you just compared Luke to being a badass like his father. Do you guys think they filmed that scene like that in The Mandalorian to draw like a connection to like any of the Darth Vader scenes, sure, where you kind of see him do the same thing?
I'm sure of it. Like, I'm sure it was
a, that kind of reminded me of a Rogue One sort of.
I think it was like a definite homage on purpose. Like, it was a parallel.
Yeah.
And I think in terms, like, getting all the sentimental shit out of here, fuck it. Like, it shows that Luke can run with people like Obi-Wan and Anakin. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm, definitely can't. I feel like Anakin and Obi-Wan could definitely...
No, I feel like Luke could run hands with Obi-Wan. Whoa. I feel like Luke would just destroy Obi-Wan.
Destroy?
Discussion. And also, let it be clear that who beats Darth Vader? Luke.
I don't know, man. That Emperor guy kind of
zapped him up. That's good. Darth Vader, though. That's Darth Vader. We're talking about
Obi-Wan. Are you saying that Anakin is more powerful than Darth Vader?
No, but I just think he would have been better in that fight at that time.
I don't know. Luke beats him because he slips on the black Air Force Ones. I don't know. He just literally in the movie, he just gets pissed and beats Vader. He chops off his arm. But yeah, I think that was definitely like you. I think that was definitely like Luke. This scene in The Mandalorian was like Luke can run with the big dogs. Which we needed, because he's kind of lame in the original trilogy in terms of fighting.
I mean, I feel like if they remastered it, like, it would be different, because, you know, they have way more they could do with the original trilogy. Like, I feel like that Obi-Wan versus Darth Vader fight would be so much better. I feel like this would be way more iconic in the Star Wars universe.
My theory for Visions is that's what it's going to be. Like, reimagining certain parts of Star Wars to be a little more modern.
Because if that's the scene that we got when he was just fighting against some droids,
I want to see him run hands with like a Sith.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think the Mandalorians,
Darth Vader versus Luke fight would be.
That's definitely not the last we've seen of Luke. I don't think we'll ever see the last of Luke, because again,
I definitely think that might
he's be Star Luke. Wars. No, we're gonna see more Darth Vader eventually, and if you see more Darth Vader, eventually we will see more Luke. I almost feel like it's a rule of thumb. He's also a central character. He'll show up, and he's got to give Grogu back. Gogurt. He's got to give Gogurt back.
Gogurt? Interesting.
So let's walk through our top tens. Omari, I'm just gonna speak him, because we're running low on time. In fact, I think we're running a little over.
My top 10 was Finn and Kylo Ren at 10, Rey at 9. Nope. Mace Windu at 8. Well, what?
Whoa. What? Your list is different than what you did.
It's changed.
Your top 10.
Go ahead. Go through it, Bennett.
Wow, what happened? Your top 10 is Finn and Kylo, Darth Maul, Cad Bane, Poe Dameron, yes. Han Solo, Luke Skywalker, Rex, Anakin, Darth Vader, Obi-Wan, and Ahsoka.
Oh, yeah, I did change it because I realized I only put Mace Windu in there because he was black and I actually thought he was a character.
Chuck, your characters were Hondo, Plo Koon, R2-D2, Boba Fett, Chewbacca, Obi-Wan, Galen Merrick, Starkiller, Din Djarin, Darth Vader, Anakin, and Rex. Mike, top 10 was Kylo and Rey, Ahsoka Tano, Chewbacca, Poe Dameron, Din Djarin, Anakin Vader, Leia Organa, Obi-Wan, Han Solo, and Luke Skywalker. We had two unanimous characters, Darth Vader and Obi-Wan.
I wonder how Bennett's top 10 would have changed if he's...
If I had seen the last 12 episodes of Clone Wars, probably nothing changed. Maybe Ahsoka would have been 8.
Wow. This is a thing.
Maybe. But as I understand it, part of
Bennett still hates
clones. As I understand it, part of her arc is pretty crappy. Anyways, Omari, it's 11:40 p.m. Winter Soldier comes out in 20 minutes. Give us that sweet outro.
Well, this has been another episode of I Have a Bad Feeling About This. I'm your host, Omari Salisbury.
This is Charles.
And this is Bennett. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you soon with an episode idea that I'll come up with in the next 2 weeks. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you then.